Philippians 2 and verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Scripture. What a precious portion. And so I pray, Lord, as we preach the Word of God, and then, Lord, as we challenge the people, dear God, that you would give us, dear God, a clear vision for a brand new, fresh year. Please help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. At the end of the service, we're going to make available there at the back now on the information desk area our Blessed Hope Baptist Church 2014 calendar. Now, there are a few things that we'll add to the calendar, but I wanted to give you the main dates so that you'd be able to go home and mark your calendar and kind of know what's going on. And one of the things that we're going to do came as a result of the Lord doing a kind of a work in my life through Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. I got to tell you this just a wonderful, this little adorable story, illustration that I heard years ago, the story of a little boy. He got a hold of a flashlight. I think that's every kid's dream. You got to hide the flashlights because there's something about children that are just, and they want to just get a hold of a flash. You want to make a kid happy, keep them busy, and it really don't cost that much, just a few batteries. Just give a flashlight. You won't have to mess with them for a couple hours. But he's gone out on the front porch, and it's after dark. And Mom and Dad don't know he's out there, but he's got the family flashlight. And he keeps flipping it on, flipping it off, flipping it on, flipping it off, flipping it on, flipping it off. And finally, a neighbor's across the street seeing this, you know. He's wondering Morse code, you know, is somebody in trouble? What is that? So the man gets up and walks over, and he sees that little boy just turning that flashlight on for a minute, and he turned it off, turned it on. And he finally said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he kept doing it, just turned it on, turned it off. "Son," he finally, "Yes, sir, what are you doing?" He said, "Watch this." He said, I'm poking holes in the darkness." And he turned it on, "I'm poking holes in the darkness." I love that story. Folks, listen to me. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to poke holes in the darkness. And I was not really, honestly, up to about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I never forced a theme. We've had a theme every year that I've been pastoring, but it's been one of those things, usually by October, November, man, God speaks to me, and I know what the theme's going to be, and I didn't have a clue. I absolutely. Somebody asked me a couple times. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have a theme. You know, go get them. I don't. I don't have. I just got nothing. I got nothing. So you know, and I have to kind of credit Brother Bud and Sister Tina. And I don't know which one or both of them together that came up with the theme for our cantata, and of course the same theme they used for our Christmas. But God kind of took that whole idea of shining as a light, and he began to work on my heart, and there was I knew pretty much very specifically what I wanted to do. I just didn't have a theme to attach to it, and I got on, I'll tell you what, if you want to have some fun, and you want to really, I think, get a clear vision of the importance in God's eyes of light, just take that word. Most of you, or some of you, have the computer programs where now you can get on and You can open up kind of a concordance. You can type a word in, and you can sit there and push a button and read every place in the Bible where that word. If you just go to the New Testament and just put the word light in and read every verse, just take your time with it. Just take your time with it. I'm going to tell you something. I think by the time you get to the last one in Revelation, God's going to have done something in your heart. Then, by the way, go ahead and type in the word darkness. Just push the buttons. And let me say, first of all, I want to preach to you a little while, but let me say, first of all, folks, one of the things you'll find by doing this study is this. The world is, inarguably, the world is shrouded in darkness. It's shrouded in darkness. When the Old Testament prophet prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ, you know why he said he was going to come? Here's what he said. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The world is shrouded in darkness. John chapter 1, we read the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John chapter 3, verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. By the way, not everybody enjoys it when an independent fundamental Baptist church sits there and pokes holes in the dark. They don't like it. Hey, turn the light off! Hey, stop that! Turn it off! You're going to hear that, and you're hearing it more and more, and you're hearing it louder and louder. But you know what, folks? The world needs to see the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I like Acts chapter number 26, verse 15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? Remember? When God came along and knocked Saul down on the road of Damascus, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. And then, of course, these wonderful rapture verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We can't not read them. Know the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. The world is shrouded in darkness, folks. And you know what they need? They need to see the light. They need to see the light. Now, let me give you the third point, and I want to kind of present to you what we're going to do. But point number one, the world is shrouded in darkness. Point number two, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And He has commissioned us to be with Him the light of the world. John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, and by the way, neither are we, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It said of John the Baptist, by Jesus. Jesus said this of John the Baptist. He was a burning and shining light. He was a burning and shining light. Man, wouldn't you like to have Jesus say that about you at the judgment? See, hey, Father, this one, he was a burning and a shining light. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has been and is proclaimed in John chapter 1 as the light of the world. But Jesus then turns the tables. He says something very interesting in John chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Folks, let me illustrate it this way. You know, you say, preacher, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Well, he is. Well, then he said that we're the light of the world. Well, yes, that's what he wants us to be. When you go out at night, I don't know about you, but I love to go out at night. I like living in the country. I like being able to see the stars. But you know what? One of the most beautiful things you can ever behold is a full moon. And I mean, sometimes the moon is so full that it just almost looks freakish. Have you walked out and thought to yourself, what happened? Did the moon grow? Sometimes it seems like it's almost twice the size of what we would normally believe it to be. And I've gone out in the morning to go hunting long before the sun's up or even cresting the horizon. And it's just ought to be as pitch black as night, but it's not. Because we have one of those super, super full moons, and I've walked all the way to my deer stand and never turned on a flashlight, and the sun's not up. You know why? Because the moon, watch this, this is what we would say. Boy, the moon's shining tonight. But let me ask you a question. Does the moon shine? No, it really doesn't. What does it do? It reflects. You know what, folks? Jesus is the light of the world. Let's not lose that. Without Him, we're in as much darkness as anybody else. We're in as much darkness as anybody else. The only reason that we can shine is that we have got to get close enough to Jesus to reflect it. We've got to get in a situation where Jesus, we can get the full focus of His glory, the full focus of His light, and that can be reflected from us to a lost and dying world. Ye are the light of the world. You say, well, preacher, I've gone out at night, and there's been no moon at all. Come on now. I think maybe that's what the world's experiencing right now. They're just not seeing much of a reflection. Well, where is the moon? Watch this. Let me tell you where it's at. The reason you don't see it is on the other side of the world. Well, I come out at night, and there's been a partial moon. How come there's a three-quarter? How come there's a half? How come there is a waning moon? How come there's just a sliver at times? Well, what determines that? What determines how bright the moon is? Is it that, you know what, they're not feeding coal into the furnaces up there? I mean, what is it? What's going on? Hey, that moon has no ability by itself to shine. All it can do is position itself. Watch it position itself in such a way so that there's nothing blocking the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it can fully reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, folks, come on, you know this. Even some of us that haven't been in a science class for decades, I think we can figure this out. Why is it that there's a shadow on the moon? Why is it sometimes that it's a quarter or of a moon or a half of a moon or three quarters of a moon? What's gotten in between the sun and the moon? There you go. The world. Now, folks, listen to me. The Creator, when He created this place, He put some things right in His creation to teach us some things. And you know what? If we didn't have a King James Holy Bible, we could go out and look at that and had a little common sense, we could figure some things out. But listen to me, folks. You know what? You know why the world is in darkness? Well, the world's in dark. Preacher, the world's in darkness. Well, it shouldn't be. We ought to be poking holes in the darkness. They ought to be seeing some light. Now, listen to me, folks. The more you let the world get between you and the Lord, the dimmer that you're going to be. There's been times in my life that I feel like, you know what, man, I've been full on 200 watt. And there's been times where I wonder if I've flickered like a little night light in a nursery room somewhere. And let me tell you the only difference. I let too much of the world get between me and the Father. Come on now. Now, folks, what I'm going to ask is that we take the challenge this year of our theme. And we take this verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. And we decide that we're going to shine as lights in the world. Shine as lights in the world. So number one, the world's shrouded in darkness. Number two, Christ, the light of the world, has commissioned us to be the light of the world. And number three, as a Christian, we are to shine as lights in this world. Shine as light. I'm pretty sure you're talking about shining, but when Jesus said, ye are the lights of the world, I mean, what's He talking about? How can we shine? How are we to shine? What are we to make sure that the world is seeing? Well, let me say this, folks. And by the way, let me give you three sub-points here. But we're to shine as lights in the world. Number one, by shining the glorious gospel. Shining the glorious gospel. Jesus said of John the Baptist, I mentioned this, his forerunner and the great repentance preacher, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What a sad statement. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you hide the gospel, let me tell you who's not seeing it. Those that are lost. It's not saved people that are blinded by it. It's not saved people. Look, we have it. Everybody in here that's saved has within them the light of the glorious gospel. If you would, if you'd be willing to, you could open your mouth and share with somebody the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and poke holes in the darkness and allow them to see the light of the glorious gospel. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm just giving you a handful of these light verses, and I want to park on every one of them. What an amazing, amazing group of scripture right there. Jesus said, when you got saved, the light of the glorious gospel shone within you. If you hide it, you hide it from the lost. That's the only person you're hurting. That's the person that's going to pay the price. So, number one, we have to, as Christians, make sure that we're shining the glorious gospel. By the way, folks, that means what we've always done here for 40 years. That means knocking on doors. That means testifying and witnessing at the workplace. That means passing out gospel tracts. That means inviting people to church so that they can get under the preaching of God's Word and hear the gospel preached. It's what we've been doing. It's what we should always be doing. It's the number one job of the local New Testament church. Get the gospel out. Get the gospel out. Get the gospel out. I told the folks over there when I preached, I said, some of you may be thinking, Brother Ross, before you leave and before you know this thing becomes official, would you talk to our pastor? Because he just seems to be stuck on one thing around here. He's always talking about soul winning and witnessing and inviting people to church and passing out tracts. And I turned around and looked at Brother Clay and I said, don't you ever stop making that the main thing. Don't you ever get off that. I mean, if a guy's got a hobby horse, that's a pretty good hobby horse to get on right there. The glorious gospel. So it's our responsibility. Hey, are you saved? It is your responsibility to see that the light of the glorious gospel is being shown to those that sit in darkness. Let me give you another thought. Let me have you go over to Matthew chapter number 5. I'll have you move over Matthew chapter number 5. So as Christians, we are to shine as lights in the world. We're to make sure that we are poking holes in the darkness by sharing the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we share the gospel, whatever fashion we were to share it, we've poked a hole in the darkness. We've given somebody a chance to see the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I read the first part of this portion. Matthew 5, 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Here it is. Watch this. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, when we share the glorious gospel, we poke holes in the darkness. But the Bible also says this. As Christians, we ought to make sure that along with sharing the glorious gospel, we ought to be a people of good works. A people of good works. Every single time as a Christian, we do something good and give God the glory for it, we've shot a hole in the darkness. And so I want you to understand, it's one thing to share the gospel. It's another thing to have a life that has convinced people that maybe they ought to pay attention to you. If we live right and if we do right, if we seek out opportunities to be a blessing and help to people, then that empowers our word and empowers our testimony when we share with them the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you do something, a good work, every time you show a little kindness to somebody, every time you go out of your way to be a blessing to someone, and you make sure that you give God the glory for it, then you know what? You poke a hole in the darkness. And so as Christians, we shine as lights. We shine when we share the glorious gospel. We shine when we do good works. And we shine when we have a godly testimony. Now, folks, let me just say this. There's more scripture on this than I think the vast majority of the New Testament scripture encourages in this matter of shining your light to make sure that you understand that a godly testimony acts as a light in the darkness. It acts as an opportunity for people to see Jesus Christ. You know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But later on in that same portion of Scripture, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, watch this, cast off the works of darkness. And I love this little phrase. I'm going to preach a whole message on it, Lord willing. Let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. You know when you put on light, it protects you? You know when you shine, not only are you benefiting the world and the lost, and bringing glory to God, but you are providing yourself protection. He said, put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul writes this to a carnal church, Corinth, through the inspiration. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? I preached this morning on the oldest doctrine of the Bible. I'm going to preach on the second oldest doctrine of the Bible next week. I'll give you a quick preview. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The second oldest doctrine in the Bible is the doctrine of separation. You know what, folks? Get it. If you'll study it, if you'll give it an honest examination. I mean, just like I said, type in the word light and keep hitting the button. If you'll give it an honest examination, you know what you're going to figure out from Genesis to Revelation? Right out of the gates, God said, stop. I'm going to create something. I'm going to create light. And by the way, I'm going to divide the light from the darkness. Are you getting this, church? The light goes over here, and the darkness goes over here, and they don't have fellowship one with another. And by the way, I'm going to call the light a certain thing, and I'm going to call darkness certain. So not only did He create light and divide light, He named light. Okay? And ever since then, false religion and backslidden Christians is trying to convince the world that, you know what, you can mingle darkness and light, still pat yourself on the back, and talk about what a good Christian you are. No, you can't. No, you can't. Not according to this Holy Bible, you can't do it. Now, folks, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. That's what I just said. There's always going to be somebody that comes along and tries to convince you that this whole light-darkness thing isn't really a big deal. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of obedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. I love this. For ye were sometimes darkness. You used to be darkness. That's BC stuff. But now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 a few minutes ago. Ye are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be. Let us not sleep as do others. Folks, the others is the darkness crowd. We're not supposed to be doing what they're doing. We're not supposed to look what they look like. We're not supposed to act the way they act. We're not supposed to be the way they are. That's darkness. That's sometimes darkness. We're supposed to be different. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of the night. It'd be great if some Christians just stood up and said, I'm done with being of the night. I'm done with being associated with dark. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. You know what? You know where most of the sin happens? Over there in the darkness. What do you want to hang around the darkness for, young person? Why are you trying to figure out a way to sneak around and get over in the darkness? What's going on? You be children of light. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for in a helmet the hope of salvation. I'm reading a lot of scripture. I hope you're enjoying it, because I am. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Let me just read verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm going to teach on Luke chapter 11 sometime this year. By the way, you're going to hear a lot of light messages. How are you figuring it out? You're going to hear a lot of light messages. I wish you just hear, just listen to this. I'm going to give very little commentary. Listen to it. Luke 11:36, Jesus said this, No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place. You know, he's trying to use common sense with them. Okay, it gets dark out. So a man says, man, it's dark. I can't see. So I'm going to go light this candle, and then I'm going to go stick it in the closet and shut the door. You know, it's almost like he's appealing to, I mean, what are you, nuts? I'm not sure that that's not in the original Hebrew somewhere, you know, or Greek. What are you, nuts? He's challenging them with just sheer common sense. Like I said this morning, folks, let me tell you, this pseudo-intellectualism, this faith intellectualism, you know what? The King James Bible and God's Word and the God of this Bible, you know what he appeals to? Good old common horse sense. That's what he appeals to. And so Jesus says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither in a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. He said, listen, you don't put it in a secret place. You don't put it in a closet. You don't light a candle and then get the bushel and put it on top of it so that it dims the light. It makes the light of none effect. He said, you put it on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now listen very carefully. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee... What a statement. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. The saddest thing in the world is somebody who's genuinely saved. And yet you have shrouded your life with worldliness and carnality to the point where nobody can see the light. You've turned the light, the potential light that you have, that you could affect the world with, you know what you've done? You've turned it into darkness. And then he goes on and says this, take ye therefore the light which is in thee, be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So you know what we've got to do as Christians? Watch this. Let me help you right here. I said I was going to teach or preach this. Why don't I just stop and do it real quick now? You know what we've got to do as Christians? Every single one of us need to ferret out the darkness in us that's dimming the light. Folks, come on now. Is God the problem? Is it that Jesus isn't bright enough? So if He's in us and His Spirit indwells us, we ought to be shining as bright as He shines. So why don't we? Come on, let's be honest. Why don't we? Because we don't want to deal with the darkness. I love our young people around here, but some of you, you know what? You've let darkness come in. You've let darkness come in. Anytime I preach about or bring it up or point it out, you just snarl. But the honest truth is, you're not shining. You have the potential to shine. You were granted, gifted the glorious gospel. You could shine if you would. You have the potential to. There's a world out there that needs it. But your darkness, your sin, your unconfessed sin, your sinful habits and your sinful longings have dimmed the light so that most people that see you away from this church really can't tell much difference between you and any other lost person walking around. And you have the light. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Getting in front of the judgment seat of Christ one of these days and it's my turn. Okay, better get the bushel off. And God says, I put within you the light of the glorious gospel, the light of my presence, the light of my Spirit. And you chose to spend your entire life shrouding it and masking it and hiding it so that you could be comfortable with those that want to run around in darkness. I mean, you've got to make some... Folks, listen, if this church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is going to shine as lights in the world, then you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get out of us that very world. Because it's dimming the light. What a powerful portion of Scripture. We're going to do something this year that I'm excited about. And I'm going to tell you this. I wish a lot of the ideas, I'll be very honest with you, I steal from other places. If I go to a church and they're doing something and it's working and it's a good idea, I've borrowed things but I want to tell you something. God's been working in my heart in this matter of shining and poking holes. I love that story. Poking holes in the darkness. I want to do something very different this year as far as our attempt as a church to really turn up the wattage. I want us to shine bright. I want us to shine with an intensity into the community that we've never done before. And at least not in this exact way. We have our church, Jerusalem area, on the map back there in the back. We have it divided up into 5 bus route areas. In some ways, I want you to kind of try to lose the idea of those are bus route areas. I'm afraid sometimes what we need to do is understand those are just a way of dividing up our Jerusalem so that we can be the most effective in reaching it. We're going to take 6 months. I know there's 5 areas, and I'll share with you why we're taking 6 months to do this. But each of those areas, I want to take 1 month. And I want to turn everything that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is and has, and I want it to shine in that area. Now, stay with me on this. For instance, let me tell you, when you see your bulletin, you'll see that the month of March, the theme for the month of March is Lighting 101. Lighting 101. Now, folks, Bus Route 101, that area over there, has in its area there. They pick up in Marco. We got Ashley Sandberg, Marco, Lyons, Swiss City, and Worthington. Brother, how's it work here? Brother Jeffrey starts about here and ends about there. So if I stand here and go like this, that's pretty much 101, all right? That's pretty much 101 over that direction. Now, during the month of March, we're going to do this in such a wonderfully organized fashion. We're going to empower you to be involved if you will be. There's not a person that won't be able to be involved in this if you will. Listen to what I want to do. You say, preacher, I know what you're going to say. We're going to take an entire month and we're going to take all our visitation opportunities and we're going to put them in one concentrated area. Yes, that is one phase of this that absolutely we 100% are. I'm going to, during the month of March, we'll do away with our regional visitation opportunities. In the months that we're concentrating on one specific area, I want to do a church-wide Saturday visitation program where we meet here at the church and we organize and we empower and we get everybody ready and we send you over into that area. And we're going to, yes, for 1 month, we're going to knock on every single door we're able to knock on. I don't know if we'll get every one in the whole area, but for a month, we are going to intensify our efforts. Our staff is going to lead in this. They're taking extra hours and extra time. Whatever month, when we set aside month of in the month of March, 101, our staff will put, I mean, the scores and scores of hours over there just knocking on doors and soul winning and visiting. Brother Jeffrey, that means for an entire month, your bus route area, all of the capacity of Blessed, where's Brother Jeffrey? I'm looking for you. All the capacity of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, everything we've got, we're going to shine into that area. Reinforcements are coming. Reinforcements are coming. But I began to pray about it as I drive through these areas. I said, Lord, I want to take the gospel to every door we can. But there's other things in this area. So I began to pray about it, just jot down some things. I want our church, and we'll do this, Brother Reiser, by the way, Brother Reiser is going to be the organizer of this program. He's going to be my right hand on this, and he's going to organize this for me. He's going to drive through every one of these areas. See, we got 2 months to get ready here. We'll start March 1st. And he's going to go to every one of the towns that we just mentioned, and he's going to jot down every business that is open in those towns. Swiss City is not very hard. I think there's 3 businesses, and they all are taverns or So we'll use a little wisdom on where we go on this. I'm a little scared to send Brother Reiser to some of those places. He'll be gone 2 days, and we'll find him laying in a gutter somewhere or something. But his job is to organize this. Now, folks, listen to me. What I want to do is this. I want somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church during the month of March to walk into every single business in the towns I just mentioned. And we're talking about Sandburg, Marco, Lyons, Twist City, and Worthington. And we're going to have the church during January and February. We'll have some times where we put these things together. But we're going to put together some wonderful little gift baskets. And we're going to do a good work. Okay? That shines the gospel. Part of what will be in that gift basket will be the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also going to develop a little DVD that presents about a 3 or 4 minute presentation of what's going on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church so people can know what I think what goes on inside of these walls is the best kept secret in three counties. Somebody take that out, stick it in their computer, watch it for about 3 minutes. They're going to see all of the things and all the exciting things that are happening at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's going to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll estimate the number of employees that are there. We'll just take one gift bag, but there'll be enough stuff in there so that they'll all get to enjoy it. And I envision something like this happening. Me and my wife would walk in with one of these. Let's say I go to an insurance salesman over there, you know, Farm Bureau Insurance, some over in Worthington somewhere, some guy that sells insurance, and he's got two secretaries, and he's in there, and I come in, and can I help you out? Is so-and-so here? And I'd have his name in advance, and yes, he is. Can I just see him for a quick? And then I got the gift bag. Can I just see him? Anytime you've got a gift bag, let me tell you something. I don't care what the person's doing, they'll come out. And I say, listen, this is from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's a gift from our church. We've taken this month and we're praying for every business in this area. And we're praying for this area. And we appreciate the contribution that you're making to this community. And I want you to know that there's a church that's rooting for you and praying for you. And by the way, every single month we will supply everybody in this room that list of businesses so that you can pray. I'm not going to tell them that we're doing it and not do it. Amen. So that you can pray for these businesses and for these people. Now watch this, folks, and I want you to not misunderstand what I'm saying here. You know I love the bus ministry. I've got a track record. It's proven, okay? But you know what? Sometimes what we do is we go to these communities and we drive around and we're looking for a trailer with a swing set and some bicycles. And you know what? We need to reach the business professionals. We need to reach the working class people of our community. We need to reach them. And a lot of times when we go soul winning, you know what? Those are the ones that are not home. You know why? Because they're always working. Or they're asleep so that they can get enough strength to go back and go to work. So what better thing to do than go to where they are working? We will go to every place. We may have some of those places that might have 10 or 12 employees. We might have some of them that have 2 or 3 employees. We're going to go to every single one of them. But wait a minute, that's not all that's there either. We're going to go to the law enforcement. And we're going to bring into the law enforcement a gift. And again, a nice basket. So that everybody in the next 2 or 3 shifts can come, hey, where'd all this stuff come from? And have something, you know. Came from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And shake their hands and say, thank you for what you're doing. We're going to go to the fire departments. We're going to all the civil... you say, preach, that'd be a lot. Well, if you think about our size, rural community, yeah, it is, but it's not. This church can do it. We can do it. What about the schools that are over there? We're going to impact every one of the schools. I'd like for somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church to go in and sit down and have prayer with the principal. I'd like us to leave them and say, hey, I know you got a teacher's lounge here somewhere. We just want to tell you that for this month we're praying for all the teachers that teach here in this school. And we're behind you and we're for you and we're praying for you and we're thankful for what you're trying to do. And by the way, here's some material. We'd like you to give a little gift to each. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Now, by the way, every single thing we give is going to have what in it? The glorious gospel, absolutely. It's just another way of doing what we've always done. I want us to saturate for an entire month, both door-to-door and in every business. I mean, when we do Lenten, we're going to go to Greene County Hospital and every single area of that hospital. A hospital is organized like anything else. You know, you got the guys that work in the ER, you got the people that clean, you got the greeters at the door, you've got the nurses on the first floor and the maternity, and all of that. You know what? Every one of those areas, there's going to be somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church walk in and say, hey, I want you to let you know this month we're going to pray in a special way for you. By the way, here's a little token of our appreciation. Here's some things that our church wanted you to have and have prayer with them. You mean have prayer with them right in the hospital? Yeah, have prayer with them right in the hospital. And just say, let me pray with you before I go. And you know what? When you do that, I can tell you this. I've never had anybody in my life say, no, I don't want you to pray. You know why? Because I think down deep there's a part of every person in the world that knows I need prayer. I need God's help. especially if you're working down there. Come on now. You need God's help. Now, listen to me, folks. I mean, in every single, we're going to these communities, and every single, I'm talking about we're going to every doctor's office, we're going to every lawyer's office, insurance salesman, hospitals, funeral home. If they're there, we want a statue. We're going to go for 1 month in March, and we're going to shine so bright, so intensely. Now, folks, come on. You're small town, you're rural America. What's going to happen within just a little bit of time in that community? People are going to start talking. There's going to be a buzz started. Hey, did somebody come from that? I don't remember what it was, some Baptist church over there. Yeah, they came by and they brought some real nice. Wow, that's... And you know what? Say, will everybody understand? No. Will some people scoff and laugh at it? Sure. But I believe that in every one of those places, there's going to be two or three or four people that sit there long after everybody else has made their little comments because, you know, whatever, and sit there and say, well, in their hearts say, you know, they can say whatever they want to, but I've never seen anybody do that before. And I'm going to tell you something. Down the road, that church, that person has a heartache, or they have a need, or they go through a valley, and they're thinking, who cares? Who cares? The devil says, nobody cares. And then the Holy Spirit whispers, I don't know. There were some people that took their Saturday and stopped in here. They took a Monday during business days, stopped in here and shook our hands and prayed with us and gave us something, said if we could ever be a blessing and help to you, please call us. Now listen, church, you know what we need to do? We need to turn up the wattage. I'm glad we all come in here and we sing and we shine while we fill this place with light. But you know who needs the light? The people outside of here needs the light. So in March, we're going to light 101. During the month of April, we're going to take a month off. Well, I don't know about a month off because we're going to have our spring program in the month of April. But on purpose, we're putting a month in between some of these because it is intensive and it does take some time and effort and some planning. So in March, you'll see on the calendar, we're going to light 101. Then in April, we'll go into our spring program. In May, we're going to light 303. We're going to take both June and July, and we're going to be in 202 just because Lenten will be the biggest challenge. Matter of fact, it's such a big challenge that even when we are covering some of the smaller communities, we might do something in Lenten during that time. For instance, maybe when we're doing 101, we might say, folks, we're going to do 101, but we're also going to go over and get the hospital. Because that's going to be the biggest challenge. But it also gives us the opportunity to make the biggest impact. And so for June and July. Now, when I show up, if I show up to these Saturday visitation things, well, some of us will be going out knocking on doors, and some Saturdays, every single person that can and is able to and willing to will be taking gift baskets and going and visiting different businesses and making an impact in that way. So in June and July, we'll be lighting 202. In August, we're going to take, again, back off a little bit, and we got school to get ready and all of that. But we are going to take one Saturday in August and go over and, Lord willing, do a Judea project in Victory Baptist Church in Bloomfield because I don't want to stop being a blessing to them over there. In September, we'll light 404. In October, we'll light 505. Church-wide effort to impact these different communities in every way possible. I'm going to ask you parents to pray about letting me do this. My wife's going to take also in June. We've been praying. We've been wanting to do something with the high school students. And I'm going to limit it to high school students just because anytime I've taken a home missions trip, I just have found it's better to just take high school-age kids. But I'm going to take high school-age kids, and I'm going to take also some of our Bible college-age kids. And in June, we're going to go to the Hopi Indian Reservation in Arizona, and we're going to take our kids, and we're going to shine some light over there in Arizona at the Hopi Indian Reservation. I want our young people to come with me. If you're going to be next year, I'll go ahead and include 8th graders, because if you're going to be next year in 9th grade, 10th, 11th, or 12th, and you can talk to your mom and dad and let you come with me and my wife. And parents, I wish you'd let us. I just hope you trust us enough to give us to them and let us have an impact on them for a week. And we're going to take them out there, and we're going to go with Brother Magnarella there. And we're going to go out there and try to shine the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. We're going to shoot holes in the darkness in Arizona for, we'll be gone actually about 9 days on that trip. So it'll be a blessing. We've got some other things in the calendar plan. Folks, I want you to pray about this. I want you to talk about it. I want you to go through all of the stages that Baptist people do when they hear something new. I want you at first to be skeptical, and then I want you to talk to it about each other, and then I want you to decide that it's probably a bad idea, and then I want you to get under conviction and think maybe it is a good idea. And so I'm going to give you a week to go through the whole Baptist routine on this, and by next Sunday, come in excited about it. Amen. Just come in and excited. Hey, I've been around Baptist people my whole life. That's my crowd. I wouldn't trade you for anything, but I also know how you are. I've had a couple months to think about this and mull it over and be excited about it. Y'all are still trying to absorb it. I get it. But spend this week praying about it. I think this could be remarkable. I think the results of this could be miraculous. I think God is going to shine in some places in a way that He's never been allowed to shine before. And I want you to be involved. I want you to partner with us. We're going to need you. Preachers, I'm limited on some of the things that I can do. Well, you can come over here when we're putting all those gift bags together and when we got our big giant conveyor belt system up and putting them, you can help. And listen, you can lay hands on those things and every time you touch one, pray about it. You can donate some of the things that we're going to need to put in that. I'm going to have the church buy some things, but we also are going to put up a list and we're going to ask you to help. We're going to get a prototype and we're going to stick with it. We want to kind of be everybody get the same thing. We want to do it done a certain way, and so we're going to do all of that here. But and by the way, come February, there's going to be a list appear on the back bulletin board, every one of those businesses. Preacher, I'd like to come this Saturday thing, but I work Saturdays. Well, you go back and sign up and say, hey, me and my wife or our family, we'll this month deliver to these five or six different businesses. We'll just take that on and we'll do it. We'll pick up five of them, take them home, and we'll go over and we'll meet the people and we'll give it to them and we'll tell them a little bit about Blessed Hope and we'll pray with them and get to know their names and take on them for the entire month in a special way for our family to pray about. I mean, folks, you can get involved in this as much as you want or you can sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else. But listen, don't rob yourself of the blessing. Now, I'm so excited about this. I mean, I told the guys the other day, I was thinking about this. I can't wait to get to some of these businessmen. I can't wait to put my hand in their hand. I can't wait to have a word of prayer with them. I can't wait to get to know them a little bit. By the time we get done, we'll have testimonies of all kinds of different reactions. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe that God, despite what the initial reaction may or may not be, I'm going to tell you this, God will use these things. So let's just decide that we're going to be like that little boy who got a flashlight. Finally got the flashlight. Mom and Dad wasn't looking. He got a chair. He got up where the flashlight was. He's on the front porch and he's just sitting there having the time of his life. Let's just take 2014. Let's just poke holes in the darkness. Poke holes in the darkness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would take the scriptures that we've heard and help us to understand the opportunities that's ahead. And Lord, we want to take January and February. We're going to be doing some things. We'll be preaching and preparing and laying groundwork. We're going to take February and shine the light of the glorious gospel. And we're going to talk about lighting the world for a month. But Lord, we've got a couple months here where also we just pray, dear God, that you would help us to get positioned correctly. Lord, I don't want to spend 2014 being a waning moon or a sliver of what I could have or should have been. I want to position myself in such a place where none of the world is blocking your light so that I can reflect, Lord, in a powerful way. Dear God, so that I can reflect who you are. It's not that they would see us. It's so that they can see you. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would go ahead of us. Lord, I know that the devil was here tonight too, and he's listening, and I know how he works. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you'd bind the powers of Satan. I pray, Lord, that you'd open wonderful doors of opportunity for our church and use this 2014 effort. Shine as lights in the world. Shine as lights in the world. Use it, Lord, in our lives. We pray.